farming community to date, and with people at OSU who are in the pesticide programs, all the educational material we put out and they put out encourage the temporary storage and the ultimate use of these materials rather than the discard of these materials. I failed to point out earlier that whether we're dealing with pesticides or other industrial materials, we have incorporated into our administrative rules the opportunity for small quantities to be disposed of at local landfills other than going to a chemical waste landfill. So in the area of pesticide products, we do exempt, if you will, quantities under 10 pounds a month. And say if a farmer would have 10 pounds of a pesticide product that they truly could not use and wanted to discard, those could legally be disposed of in a local landfill. They would not be considered a hazardous waste. The farmer would not be considered a hazardous waste generator.
Does that clarify?
Just one clarification. You're talking about
Representative Van Leeuwen.
Excuse me. You're talking about 10 pounds of actual material.
No, 10 pounds of waste. So if it was a spray mixture, it would be 10 pounds of spray mixture.
So it would be a gallon of water.
Approximately, right.
It's only 8 pounds.
A month.
A month.
A gallon a month. It's not a large exemption, and again, because of the toxicity of pesticide products. But it is there. The other thing, empty containers, assuming they've been rinsed, would not be considered a hazardous waste.
Now that's dilution.
What's dilution?
Rinsing.
Representative Priestley.
That's all. I just did.
Well, the recommended practice is to rinse the container and to use the rinse water as part of the spray mixture.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
So if I can just get this clarified in terms of its impact on the agricultural community. Basically, right now with your who you consider hazardous waste generators, you say there are about 250 of them in the state, and at that number there can't be very many farmers in there. In fact, I think you testified that there are none.
There are none.
And that the normal agricultural procedure with pesticides is to, when they're emptied the can, they rinse it, triple rinse it or whatever they do, and they dispose of the cans.
Correct.
And there's a whole system set up for that. That is not a hazardous waste activity.
That's correct.
Okay, that's all on you. Thank you.
Any other questions from Rich or Stan?
You're looking at the Well, I just want to know.
Thank you very much.
They were. Who knows how many?
Tom?
15
Donica.
People were trying to support with this.
I think I've seen all these faces before. One more time, House Bill 2237, Tom Donica from Association of Oregon Industries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You have heard the testimony of the Department of Environmental Quality, and I think you heard them say that, they did say that basically their agency currently is federally funded. Of their 15.30 FTE, 12 of them, 12.30 of them are federally funded. Two come from other funds, and only one has ever been funded by the state. As a matter of fact, that's less effort in this program with state general funds than any other environmental program that's been undertaken in this state. It was our understanding. And I should tell you also that there is an advisory committee to DEQ composed of people from many, many different areas, including the Oregon Environmental Council and AOI, and I happen to be on that committee. At the time that the advisory committee looked at this, which was last fall, it appeared that the EPA's funds would be cut rather substantially. I'm not certain I know exactly what happened, but I am of the impression that at this point in time, federally funded positions are fully funded, and there is no current problem for the agency. Hence, first question, there is we know the commission will only do this probably when there is a need to do it, but we don't know when that is. On top of that, we would note that Section 1 contains no maximum. Now, the Environmental Quality Commission, with regard to the air and water quality programs, might well have increased fees over time, but for the last three bienniums, their increases basically have been triggered by a budget note coming out of the Ways and Means Committee, which has suggested that they should increase their fees and reduce their general funds. Yes, it is important that you make the change to the commission being a responsible party, but somehow or other, there ought to be some insulation or some way that the legislature in full might assume and retain the responsibility over the financing of this program. And I have not got a means to do that today, but by putting some kind of a reasonable maximum in it. Let me tell you what we were looking at on the advisory committee in terms of range of permit fees. The minimum was $150 annually. The maximum was $5,000 annually. I'll also tell you that our Hazardous Waste Advisory Committee, when looking at that size fee, and that's an annual fee, and to my knowledge, with just a couple of minor exceptions, not so minor for the people that pay them, that would be the highest fee that I know of being charged by any agency on an annualized basis for any activity in the state of Oregon. And it does not come about because the agency wants to raise a fee of that size. It comes about because they have a very small audience. They do not need a lot of money. If my memory serves me correctly, what we were talking about and what they thought they were going to lose in federal funds was approximately $225,000 a year. Now, that's not a lot of money unless you haven't got very many people to pay it. And that's where you got it. Now, with the additional numbers of people from 175, which I used, to 250, I would anticipate that across the board those would be reduced somewhat. But again, what we were looking at last fall is all gone. EPA did fund. We will now not know until next October. There may be perhaps another way of getting at it, which is to suggest that the program implementation, the startup, have to come back to the E-Board if it's in the interim, so that the case would have to be made by the agency for the justification for the startup of the fee program. That at least would give everybody an opportunity to discuss what they proposed to do at that time and before we actually got to the commission. I do and I will repeat, the commission, in our opinion, has run the permit programs in a very, very good way, and they have not abused the program in terms of their unlimited authority. So I am simply voicing to you today, even though I say that, I am voicing to you the concern of some people that the unlimited funding authority that's in this bill is something that the legislature ought to be a little concerned about, ought to take to heart, and ought to try to find an answer to. I would have one specific recommendation for change, and that is in line 7. Mm-hmm. It says now, adequate to cover administrative costs and to carry on the monitoring, inspection, and surveillance program. We think that administrative costs are kind of swinging out there loosely and are not necessarily tied to the monitoring, inspection, and surveillance program, and to give some assurance that people are going to pay it, that you would delete administrative costs and to carry on. So it would read, line 7, adequate to cover the monitoring, inspection, and surveillance program and related administrative costs of the program established under. But just move it around so that the administrative costs are directly tied to that program rather than being a separate and distinct activity that's not necessarily related to it. I think that concludes my remarks for...
Representative Troup.
With that amendment that you propose, is the bill acceptable to you then? Are you testifying in favor of the bill?
Again, I have the problem, Representative Troup, that some of my membership is concerned that they cannot determine the end result. And since the program is so significantly federally funded, and the commission may well determine that the program must be kept at the same level, and it is possible that in 1983, October 83, the Congress might say, there is no more money. I doubt that. I doubt it in the hazardous waste program. I can see other programs going downhill. So in the short term, during the rest of this biennium, I don't see the problem. There could be a shortfall, and I'm kind of caught in this posture. Our posture as an organization is we want the state to retain that. We understand that the money has to be there to do that if the federal funding falls away. But that's still constrained by the unlimited authority to impose those fees.
Right.
And so that's where we are.
So it's a maybe.
It's, well, if it comes down to hard and fast, we'll support the program. I mean, if you were to say, we're going to vote the bill out today, what are you going to do? Then I would say we would have to support the program.
And if you had I guess top of your wish list in this bill would be to have some limitation on what the size of fees is. That okay?
Yeah, the range is fairly extreme, and air and water quality permit fees. Well, let's take air quality permit fees have gone up for the last three bienniums at the rate of 14% per biennium. And that's, I mean, the fees have gone up 14%, but they've been imposed on an annualized basis. They didn't go up 7%, and then following year they went up 7%. They've gone up 14% compounded since 1977, 79, 79, 81, 81, 83. So you have effectively whatever 14 compounded, 14 to the third power.
Haven't quite kept pace with inflation, huh?
Well, recently they have.
Tom.
Very recently.
If we did either some kind of limit on the fee.
Right.
Or would it be just as acceptable to do that once this occurs that the commission is going to institute these fees, that it then final approval come from the e-board?
I'm not certain that it's appropriate the e-board
or the
would. I think it would be that the e-board would have to give the approval for the startup of the program and the implementation of fees.
Okay, for the startup of the program. Yeah,
that would be.
Any other questions of Mr. Donica?
Madam Chairperson.
Representative Priestley.
About the, maybe do you want the site, this line 7, where you want to get the administrative costs that are related to this particular inspection? Just go back to site related, as they've deleted? See, in line 7, they bracketed out. Is it?
Well, this language was originally directed at disposal sites. This language, I believe, comes forward from the 1971 legislation, and it was designed solely for disposal sites. They're now expanding it to cover not only disposal sites and treatment facilities, which are the licensed facilities, but they're adding these other things, and that old site-related language just doesn't work here anymore. It has no value. They've got it. It's covered. It's covered under the licenses. It will be covered under the monitoring inspection program, so that language, you're not losing anything by taking it out, Representative Priestley. It's not reducing the efficiency of the program or the enforceability of the program, nor is it in any way going to affect the people of the state or their safety.
Representative Priestley, you could also, Mr. Donica made a suggestion for amendment, but you could also do the same thing he suggested by deleting only site.
I think so.
And leaving in related administrative costs into carrying on.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Okay, that was my one question. Now my second question concerns to the maximum. Now your membership and their concerns. You stated that Nothing has been bad in the past that these people haven't overcharged you. I understand. I think your members also support the new federalism idea. Probably thirdly, your membership doesn't want our wonderful state general fund, most of which is provided by individual taxpayers. You wouldn't want them to subsidize industry so that if there was a charge that, say, it was $200, why wouldn't your membership favor that as the reasonable charge? Why would you want to put a maximum of, say, $150 when they support all those kind of things?
I suspect the maximum range that you're talking about, I didn't say, Representative Priestley, I didn't say $250. I think your range would be, assuming that the $250 number is now correct, is probably $4,000. It's $4,000 plus 14% next biennium and 14% the following biennium, and $4,000 becomes $8,000 fairly rapidly doing that. That's where it begins to grate a little bit. And on a comparative scale, it's a little tough because you begin to look at other states and they don't charge that kind of money. Some do, some don't.
When you want a maximum, you're asking for the subsidy from the general fund, right?
We're asking for a little certainty when you read a piece of legislation. We do understand, and I think I said it reasonably clearly, Representative Priestley. We do understand. We want the state to have the authority to run the program. We understand the funding. We understand that if we want the state to run the program, the fees, the money's going to have to come from somewhere, and under existing circumstances, it is probably going to come from our people. Nonetheless, all they're asking for is that today we can understand it, but we'd like to have some certainty down the road. We would like to know, for instance, if there are 15 people there today, that there won't be 20 people there tomorrow. I'm afraid that my people are also not greatly interested unless there's an absolute public necessity for any growth in government at this point in time. I guess that's the other side of the picture. We're not asking for a subsidy. We understand the problem with regard to this particular
Representative
program.
Tringer.
Tom, looking at your concern there and reading the bill, I get a little bit confused with lines 5 and 6, which are the basis of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says an annual fee shall be required,
mm-hmm.
and et cetera. Now, we keep hearing that that's only if needed.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I read this bill, it says that they shall be required.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say anything about whether the feds fund this program or not. Do you have any proposed amendments that might address that part of the problem?
No, but I do not today. But it is true, when you say shall, you're leaving some discretion to the commission, which they have stated, at least the staff has stated, they would not exercise, yet that is almost in contradiction of the charge that this legislature would lay upon them if they pass this piece of legislation in this form. It really says you shall, and that means you get at it and you do it as rapidly as you possibly can administratively after you have the authority to exercise the authority granted here. That's really the way the bill reads.
You know, it might only be a $10 fee, but but someplace.
Representative Petraeus and the rest of the committee, what I would suggest because of some rulings and wanting some time to talk to the EPA on House Bill 2238, as well as some concerns with some amendments in our 48-hour amendment rule, that we not have our work session today on either of these bills, that we do that at a later date, and at which time we will have a chance to look at some additional amendments here that will change that wording so that we only go into that program when it's needed, and we have a clearer understanding from the EPA also on House Bill 2237, and they would postpone that for a couple of weeks. We'll schedule it a couple of weeks later. If I can get some kind of consensus from the committee,
that's fine.
Anybody have any problem with that?
No, that's fine. My concern is that we don't forget to address the issue again.
Right. And Beth has taken note of that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson. Thank you, Tom, by the way.
generally been the policy of committees to require amendments be submitted 48 hours in advance of any meeting or work session, and it certainly would be helpful. I know when we get into the heavy parts of session, we bend that rule quite often, but until we reach that point, that would be appreciated.
Is there anybody else that would like to testify on 2237? Hearing none, that hearing is closed.
Can I ask?
I have one announcement for the entire committee, and Representative Priestley has a question. In this committee, we will be hearing at some time this session House Bill 2235 that deals with wood stoves. For those of you that are interested, and we want to make sure that Representative Hill gets this, the Lane Regional Air Pollution Authority will be having a hearing on their own on this bill on February 1st, 7:30, in the Springfield City Council chambers. Each of you have a copy of that notification. Representative Priestley, you had a question.
I'm concerned. I just wondered from Representative Anderson's comments about the amendments. Does that mean that we don't make amendments as we kind of come to us on the committee?
Representative Priestley, the committee can make amendments where we're anybody else presenting. A member of the committee can make an amendment, but it is really helpful if we have amendments ahead of time, so we have a chance to, you know, really look at them a little more thoroughly. And take them through council, but a committee member may suggest an amendment on the spot.
Okay, will they be submitting to us their proposed suggestions here? They had this transporter to transportation facility and that kind of thing.
I would assume that they would be looking at those amendments, and I would like, Stan, for you to look at on House Bill 2237, if we pass this, of looking whether we even need Section 2 on 2237, because it's repeated in House Bill 2238. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned.
Merry weekend.
Have a good weekend.